Harper Audio presents Little Vampire Women by Louisa May Alcott and Lynn Messina, performed by Caitlin Davies. Part 1. Chapter 1. Playing Pilgrims.
Christmas won't be Christmas without any corpses, grumbled Joe, lying on the rug.
It's so dreadful to be poor, sighed Meg, looking down at her old dress.
I don't think it's fair for some vampires to have plenty of pretty squirming things and other vampires nothing at all, added little Amy with an injured sniff.
Being so poor, the Marches customarily dined on quarts of pig's blood, goat's blood, and, on very special occasions, cow's blood. But they rarely had the luxury of a living, breathing animal to feast on. And when they did, it was usually a small creature, hardly more than a snack. Most of their meals had to be warmed over the fire to be brought up to the proper temperature, which was particularly humiliating for the young girls. Gone were the days when they could sink their fangs into a wiggling beaver, let alone a writhing cow. A human had never been on the menu, even when the family was wealthy and lived in a large, well-appointed house, for the Marches were humanitarians who believed the consumption of humans unworthy of the modern vampire. Humans were an inferior species in many ways, but they deserved to be pitied, not consumed.
We've got father and mother and each other, said Beth, contentedly from her corner.
She was the shy, domestically inclined sister.
We haven't got father, and shall not have him for a long time, Joe said sadly.
She didn't say, perhaps, never, but each silently added it, thinking of father far away where the fighting was. The war was the reason they were to be denied even a field mouse this Christmas. It was going to be a hard winter for all humans, and their mother thought they ought not spend money for pleasure when so many were suffering in the army. That the suffering was limited to mortal men did not concern mother, for her commitment to the human race was steadfast, despite the criticism of her neighbors, who found both the Marches' beliefs and behavior baffling. Typically, vampires didn't concern themselves with the petty wars of humans. They had roamed the earth long before people, and would continue to roam it long after they were gone.
We can't do much, but we can make our little sacrifices, and ought to do it gladly. But I'm afraid I don't.
And Meg shook her head as she thought regretfully of all the pretty corpses she wouldn't get to eat.
But I don't think the little we should spend would do any good. We've each got a dollar, and the army wouldn't be much helped by our giving that. I agree not to expect any gifts from Mother or you, but I do want to buy Mr. Bloody Wobblestone's scientifical method for tracking, catching, and destroying vampire slayers.
Footnote number 1. Best-selling how-to that introduced the so-called scientifical method of slayer hunting by Clifford Farmer, birth 1685.
I've wanted it so long, said Joe, who yearned to join the League of Defenders, brave and gallant vampires who protected their fellow creatures from those humans who would destroy them by any means possible.
The noble profession had undergone a vast change, adopting modern techniques to battle an ancient threat. Relying on one's instincts, which had always been an imperfect process at best, and a guessing game at worst, had been supplanted by steadfast science. Now, instead of spending 3 months learning the antiquated art of filtering out the smothering scent of garlic, one simply could put on an allium mask, which accomplished the task for you. Footnote number 2. Invented by Willis Whippeton, 1750 to 1954, for his son, John, who suffered from dysgeusia garlicima, a
a chemosensory disorder that makes everything smell like garlic.
I plan to spend my dollar in new music, said Beth, who loved to play music on the March's very old, poorly tuned piano.
Mrs. March believed in a liberal education and strove to cultivate an interest in the arts in all her children.
I shall get a nice box of Faber's fang enhancements, said Amy decidedly.
Her fangs, though long, were blunt and did not come to an aristocratic point like her sister's. No one minded the dullness save herself, but Amy felt deeply the want of a pair of killer-looking fangs.
Mother didn't say anything about our money, and she won't wish us to give up everything. Let's each buy what we want and have a little fun. I'm sure we work hard enough to earn it, cried Joe.